पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविवादिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये
So we have decided to study the sutra called Sri Ganesha Pancharatna Sutra. This is this sutram, a collection of verses attributed to Shankaracharya. And first of all, we will see the place of chanting stotram. As I said, stotram is a collection of verses of praise. Stuyate anena iti stotram. Stuyate anena iti stotram. The means by which something or someone is praised is called stotra. The word stotram is derived from stu dhatu. Stu stutau. So a collection of verses by which some form of the Lord or someone is praised, he is called stotra. And we have got a vast literature of stotra. We have so many books, Brihat Stotra Ratnakar, which has got about, I think, 100 or 200 stotra. So many are there. And this stotra is a form of devotion or an expression of devotion. Devotion is called bhaktihi in Sanskrit. The word bhakti is derived from bhaj dhatu. And bhaj, based on bhaj dhatu, the meaning of bhakti is Sātu asmin parama prema swarupa. What is bhakti? Love, highest love for Ishvara is called bhakti. That is contextual definition. But general definition of bhakti is Pujyeshu anuragaha bhakti. Pujyeshu anuragaha bhakti. Pujyeshu means respectable, worshipable. Anuragaha means love. Love for worshipable people, being, is called bhakti. Pujyeshu anuragaha. Like we say matru bhakti, love, devotion for mother. Pitru bhakti, love for father or devotion for father. Guru bhakti, devotion for guru. Desha bhakti, devotion for the country. And Ishvara bhakti, devotion for Ishvara. So pujyeshu anuragaha bhakti, this is general definition of bhakti. And in the context of sadhana, generally we say sa paranuraktihi Ishvare. Same thing. Sātu asmin parama prema swarupa, in other texts it is given, sa paranurakti hi ishware. About the bhakti, there is a book called Narad Bhakti Sutra. You might have heard Narad Bhakti Sutra, where Narada has composed sutra. Sutra means aphorism, brief statements. And in that, the definition of bhakti is, as I said, Tatu Asmin Parama Prema Swarupa. Love for Ishvara, the highest love for Ishvara is bhakti. That was the definition. There is another book also about bhakti by Shandilya Rishi. Shandilya, he has also written sutra, Shandilya Bhakti Sutra. And he defines sa paranuraktihi ishvare. Sa means that refers to bhakti. Sa paranuraktihi ishvare. The highest love for Ishvara is bhakti. And then further it is explained, what do we mean by para? Para means highest. So then the commentator explains that highest bhakti for Ishvara means having this attitude that nothing is greater than Ishvara. Nahi ishta devat paramasti kinchit. Nahi ishta devat param asti kinchit. Iti buddhi. Iti buddhi purvaka. Buddhi purvika. Bhakti hi parabhakti. Means what? Having the attitude that Ishvara is ultimate and love for that Ishvara who is understood to be, considered to be the highest, is called bhakti. It's called paranurakti, highest love. And that highest love is devotion. So devotion is highest love for Ishvara. And highest love for Ishvara means love for Ishvara who is understood to be the highest. Considering Ishvara to be the highest and having that love for Ishvara is called bhakti. Or in simple words, relating to Ishvara is bhakti. Feeling connected to Ishvara is bhakti. Appreciating my connection to Ishvara is bhakti. I am not away from Ishvara, I am connected to Ishvara. Appreciation of my connection to Ishvara is bhakti. And one who has got this bhakti is called bhaktaha, a devotee. And certain activities are prescribed to invoke this devotee, to strengthen the devotee in us, and those activities are also called bhakti. Attitude itself is called bhakti, and the activities which are helping us to develop the attitude of bhakti is also called bhakti. Love for Ishvara is bhakti. Appreciation of connection with Ishvara is bhakti. and that which is helping us to develop this love, invoke this love or invoke this appreciation of connection to Ishvara, that act also is called bhakti. So bhakti has got two aspects or two meanings. A particular attitude of love or particular frame of mind in the form of love, that is bhakti, and the action which is helping me to develop that frame of mind is also called bhakti. Both are bhakti. So the word bhakti is used in both the senses. Love for Ishvara, appreciation of one's connection to Ishvara, that is bhakti. And act also is bhakti. Act which is helping me to develop this bhakti, love, is also called bhakti. And that, the second bhakti, the bhakti in the form of devotional activity, is divided in various ways. One simple way is kayika, some physical activities done to invoke a devotee in us, like puja is one type of bhakti. Puja, tirtha yatra, seva in the temple, these are called kayika bhakti. Physical, the devotional activities in the form of physical activities, that is called kayika bhakti, where our body is involved, actively involved. Vachika bhakti is the activity, verbal activities, oral activities, helping us to invoke and strengthen the devotee in us, is called vachika bhakti. Like chanting sutra, doing sankirtanam, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like in some places they have got morning to evening. So that sankirtanam, singing the names and glory of the Lord, that is vachika bhakti. That also helps us to develop this bhakti, love for Ishvara, appreciation of our connection to Ishvara. And then third is manasa bhakti, where we meditate on Ishvara. We chant name of the Lord just in the mind, so mental japa or reflection upon Ishvara's nature, reflection upon Ishvara's glory, reflection upon various activities done by Ishvara during avatara, during incarnation, meditating upon the form of Ishvara, particular form of Ishvara. Like Dakshinamurti form, I visualize and I meditate on each part of the form. That also is bhakti. It is also called manasa bhakti. So kayika, vachika, manasa. So devotional activities are also bhakti, and they are of three types. From another standpoint, these devotional activities are divided into nine types, which is called Navadha Bhakti. You must have heard this recently, it had come in Prahlada's story, where Prahlada is telling his father.
Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho smaranam pada sevanam vandanam archanam dasyam satyavatma nivedanam.
Have you heard this shloka? Sounds familiar.
Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho Shravanam kirtanam Vishnoho smaranam pada sevanam vandanam archanam dasyam vandanam archanam dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam.
Of course, when we chant, we have to make sandhi, but just for our easy understanding, I am breaking.
Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Pada Sevanam Vandanam Archanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam.
Could you write or not?
Too fast.
Or was it too fast?
Yes.
Fast?
For me it was fast. For me, yes. Eh? For me it was a bit fast, yeah.
Eh? Fast?
Yes.
Let me try with speed you can write.
Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Padasevanam Vandanam Archanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam.
So this comes in Bhagavata. So there are 9 forms of devotional activity or devotion are described. What are they?
Shravanam.
Shravanam is listening to the glory of the Lord. Like we do in satsang, listening to the glories in Bhagavata. The glories of the Lord. That is Shravanam. Your Shravanam doesn't mean Vedanta Shravanam. That also is in a way Shravanam only, because Vedanta Shravanam also is listening to the nature of Ishvara. So technically it can be called. So, but generally Shravanam means listening to the glories of Ishvara. Listening to the exploits, listening to the activities done by Ishvara when he took various avatars. That is Shravanam. Kirtanam. Kirtanam means singing glory. And singing glory can be simply by repeating one name orally, as I said, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or Om Shri Dakshina Murtaye Tubhyam. So when you repeat this orally, then it becomes Sankirtan. Whenever we say Sankirtanam, generally what comes to our mind is Hare Rama only. Because they have emphasized this, therefore. Otherwise, don't think that only Hare Rama is Sankirtanam. Om Dakshinamurte, Reem Dakshinamurte, Subhyam, that also is Sankirtan. So we should not think that we, that is not Sankirtan. Only Hare Rama is Sankirtan. No. They have popularized this Sankirtan. Alright. And chanting this Sotra is also coming under Sankirtan. We chant this Lingashtakam or this Ganesha Pancharatam, That also is Sankirtanam. Vishnohom is of the Lord who is Vyapaka. Vishnu means one who is all pervasive. So Vishnu, we should not restrict it only to a particular form. Vishnu is the name of Shiva. So we should not think Vishnu means only the Shankachakra Gada Padmanari. Yes, generally Vishnu is, the word Vishnu is used for him, but we should not restrict. Vishnu means Vyapaka, all pervasive Lord. And then Smaranam, remembering mentally. Remembering the name, remembering the glory. We are not chanting, but just remembering. Even Stotra, if you remember, then it becomes Smarana. And it is a very good form of meditation. Chant this Stotra mentally, without using your lips and tongue. I tell you, you will find that initially it's more difficult. Your mind will go somewhere else. So, the Stotra which you know by heart, chant it very slowly, with concentration, with attention. That also is one type of meditation. And that is Smaranam, one type of Bhaktihi. Pada Sevanam. Pada means feet. Sevanam means serving. Serving the feet of the Lord. Here it is mainly in the context of Vigraha Puja, where Vigraha means the particular idol is there, and they do namaskara to this pada, feet, and they take charanamruta, means these feet are washed with water, and that water is effect. All these are coming under pada seva. Doing namaskara, touching the feet of the Lord, taking paacharanamrita, washing the feet, all are pada seva. And of course we have got a very wider meaning of pada seva also. Pada means feet. And we have a description where the earth is presented as pada. Bhupadau yasya nadil vyada suramilashchanda suryauca netre. So bhuhu pada. So pada sevanam can be extended to what? Serving the earth. Means serving the entire world also is pada. But we begin with this. We worship the feet of the Lord. Why do we worship the feet? What is the speciality? By worshipping the feet, we are entertaining the attitude or the idea behind that worship is that Bhagavan is so great that I am able to see only his feet, the lowest part. He is much more than I am relating to. He is greater. This is one. And feet also stand for the Swarupa, where one stands on. What one stands on is the foot. And the Lord is having his truth in what? Satchidananda Brahma only. It represents Satchidananda Brahma, and therefore also we worship the feet. And it is also an expression of humility. In Vedic culture, touching the feet Touching the feet of somebody is accepting the glory of the other person, of other entity. And all these are indicated by Pada Seva. Indicating that, O Lord, I accept your superiority. I am nothing before you. You alone are everything. And with this attitude, Pada Sevaram. Then Vandanam, doing Namaskara, salutation, Namaha. Next one is Archanam. Archanam is worship, puja. We have various types of puja, Panchopachara puja, Shodashopachara puja, Upacharan step. Panchopachara puja means the puja consisting of five steps. Dhupa, Deepa, sorry, Gandha, Pushpa, Dhupa, Deepa, Naivedya. These five are called Panchopachara puja. Gandha, Gandha means offering agarbatti, incense stick. Deepa, lamp. Dhupa, Deepa, sorry, Gandha, Pushpa, Gandha first. Gandha, sorry, Gandha, I'm sorry. Gandha means offering chandana. This, that is comes later. Gandha means chandana. Not Gandha. Gandha means offering the sandal paste. Or something similar to that. Gandha means fragrance. Pushpa, flower. Gandha, sandal paste, or something similar to that, having fragrance. Pushpa, flower. Dhupa. Dhupa is agarbatti. So in my mind, this two got confused. Dhupa means agarbatti, incense stick. Deepa, lamp. And finally, the important thing is naivedyam. Something, some eatable, which we can eat afterwards. Naivedyam. And as I have said earlier, what we offer to Ishvara is not called prasadam. It is called naivedyam. After offering what we receive from Ishvara is called prasadam. So don't say that I am giving prasada to Ishvara. So you become greater than Ishvara. Because you are giving prasada to Ishvara. So, in South I think they don't have so much problem, but in other part of the country has this. They will say, Bhagavan ko prasad laga do. So it is what we offer is called naivedyam. Naivedyam is offering. So these are the five steps. And after the 16 steps, we have done one set puja. So where avahanam is there, asanam is there, alankara is there, sthanam is there. All those steps are in chaudashopachara puja. That is called archanam. So vandanam, archanam. If all these things cannot be done, at least offering one flower. If flower also cannot be offered, if we don't have, just do namaskara. And offer manasa puja. We have got some manasa puja stotra also. Ratnai kalpita masanam himajalaihi puja. Or if we are not doing puja, we go to the temple and observe puja being done. That also is indirect puja, archana. Dasyam. Dasyam means doing seva in the temple. Cleaning our puja room which we have. Don't ask the servant to do it. Do yourself. Dasyam literally means being servant. The status of being a servant is called dasyam. Dasasya bhava dasyam. Considering oneself to be the servant of Ishvara, serving the Lord. Dasyam. Then Sakhyam. Sakhyam means friendship. The idea is that all these activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Padasevanam, all these are not done out of fear. That if I don't do, Bhagavan will be angry with me. Bhagavan will resent and he will send me all problems. Not with that attitude. Sakhyam. Have the attitude of friendship. Have the attitude that Bhagavan is Mangalamurtihi, as we were saying this morning in meditation, that Bhagavan is the source of grace, source of blessings. Sakhyam. Looking upon Ishvara as our well-wisher. That is Sakhyam. Then, Atma Nivedanam. Atma Nivedanam means complete surrender to Ishvara. Surrendering oneself is called Atma Nivedanam, which is represented by Sashtanga Namaskara to Ishvara or Panchanga Namaskara. That is why at the end of the puja, the last step will be what? Namaskara. Doing Namaskara to Ishvara. These are called Navadha Bhakti. Nine forms of devotion and devotional activity. And this Sotram is, as we saw, Kirtanam. And this Sotra are supposed to have six features, Shad Lakshan. Any Sotra is supposed to have six features. I think you have seen sometime back, long time back, perhaps I don't remember. Anyway, even if you have seen, we have seen so much, long time back that I myself have forgotten if I have seen. So I think I can repeat it. The six features, generally every sutra will contain are Namaskaraha, Tadashicha, Namaskaraha, Tadashicha, Tadashicha, Tadashi is one word, Namaskaraha, Tadashicha, got it or not? Namaskaraha, Tadashicha, Siddhantoktihi, Siddhantoktihi. Parakramaha. Siddhantoktihi. Parakramaha. This is the first line of the shloka. This is the shloka. Vibhutihi. Prarthana vibhutihi prarthana cheti cheti shadvidam shadvidam shanmuksha shadvidam stotra lakshanam stotra lakshanam. I will repeat, so anywhere some gap is there you can fill up. Namaskaraha Tadashicha Siddhantoktihi Parakramaha Vibhutihi Prarthana Cheti Shadvidham Sotra Lakshanam. Got it? I think once I got yes from. Everybody got it or not? It is once I got yes. Of course, I have this broken sandhi, but in shloka generally there will be sandhi made.
నమస్కారస్తదాశీచ సిద్ధాంతోక్తి పరాక్రమ విభూతి ప్రార్థనా చేతి షడ్విధం స్తోత్ర లక్షణం.
ఓకే, సో జనరలీ దెర్ విల్ బి సిక్స్ ఫీచర్స్ ఇన్ ఏ స్తోత్ర. వాట్ ఆర్ ద ఫీచర్స్? ద ఫస్ట్ ఫీచర్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ స్తోత్ర జనరలీ దెర్ విల్ బి ది ఐడియా ఆఫ్ నమస్కార, సెల్యూటేషన్. లైక్ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ మస్ట్ హవ్ హర్డ్ దిస్ స్తోత్ర లింగాష్టకం. హవ్ యూ హర్డ్ లింగాష్టకం?
తత్ప్రణమామి సదాశివలింగం.
హవ్ యూ హర్డ్? సో దేర్ ద వర్డ్ ఈజ్ దేర్ ప్రణమామి. సో జనరలీ a sutra will be containing the word suggesting or denoting namaskara. This is one of the features. In every sutra generally there will be namaskara, either verbally, like here it is that pranamami. In this vinayaka sutra also there namamitam vinayakam. This is one feature of a sutra. Another feature, the second feature is tadashihi. Tadashi. Tadashi means his or her blessings. The blessings of God or Goddess who is being praised. So there will be a description of graciousness of the Lord, gracious aspect of the Lord will be highlighted. Like Karunakara Lingam. Karunakara means one who is compassionate. Or in Lalita Sahasranama it is there, Sadhyah Prasadini. Sadhyah Prasadini. One who is pleased very, very fast. Sadhyah Prasadini. Shubhakari. So the form which is very gracious. So the graciousness of the Lord will be described. This is the second feature of the sutra. The third one is Siddhantoktihi. The author of this sutra will be indirectly presenting the Siddhanta, his understanding of the nature of Ishvara, understanding of the connection between Ishvara and the world, the connection between Jiva and Ishvara. What is this Siddhanta? What is this principle? What is this understanding? That also will be presented. This is called Siddhantokti. Ukti means statement. Siddhanta means final conclusion about Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. So in Stotra, even though it is a glorification of the Lord, a particular form of the Lord, but still Siddhanta will be presented. Like in Lalita Sahasranama it is there, Nitya Jagat Adhishthana. Lalita is what? Adhishthanam. The basis of Jagat. What type of Jagat? Mithya Jagat. So this is the Siddhanta of Vedanta. One who has composed this sutra, he presents the Siddhanta. That this is what Paramatma is. This is what finally Lalita Devi is. Mithya Jagat Adhishthana. Or here it will come. Parasparam. Ganesha is Parasparam. It is superior to even the superior most. Where para, the superior, refers to Maya. And Ganesha is even higher than that Maya. Untouched by Maya. This is our Siddhanta. So the Siddhanta, our final views on Ishvara, on the connection between Jiva and Ishvara, Jagat and Ishvara, will be presented in Sotra. This is called Siddhantokti. One more feature of Sotra. Then Vibhutihi. Ishvara's glory will be described. Oh, Parakramaha, one more is Parakramaha. Parakramaha means heroism, valor. Where the strength, the heroism of that form of the Lord will be described. Like in Lalita Sahasranama, Chanda Munda Vishudini, one who killed Chanda and Munda, the Rakshasa, effortlessly. Here also he gets Vinashiteva Vaityakam, one who killed this Vaitya. Thus, Parakrama also will be described. That is the fourth feature. The fifth one is Vibhutihi, glory of Ishvara. Like in Lalita Sahasranama, Anek Koti Brahmanda Janani. She is the mother of millions of universe, galaxies of universe. Glory. She is Sarvajnaha Sarvashakti Bhati. This glory of that particular form will be described. And the last one is Prarthana. Some words will be there where prayer is made to that particular form. Sometimes directly prayer. Like Vidya Buddhincha Dehi Me. Please give me Vidya and Buddhi. Dhanam Dehi, Dhanyam Dehi. Directly asking. Sometimes may not be this type of verbal form. Please give me. That also can be there. But sometimes, instead of saying, please give me, it is said, you are the giver of wealth. It is indirectly saying, you give me or you are the giver. Once I say you are giver, it is like I am invoking the giver aspect of the Lord. You are very generous, if I say. It means what? Give some charity. Siddhi Buddhi Prade Devi. So, Siddhi Buddhi Prade. O Devi, you are the one who is giving Siddhi, success. Buddhi, intelligence. So, we are invoking that aspect in the Lord, and that also is a prayer. Prayer for something. So these are the six features of the sutra. Shat vidam sutra lakshan. And in every sutra, not every, but most of the sutra, let me say, Ishvara is praised in three ways. Today 6-3 all this will come.
69.
We have covered 3 also, 6 also, 9 also. 2 also. Anyway, so 3 ways Ishvara can be praised. All this technical we will ask in first day. It's an introductory talk. The fourth gata I think. So all this will come. Afterwards only just giving the meaning. Ishvara who is praised through Stotram is seen in three ways. One is his transcendental nature. He is beyond this name and form, not limited by name and form, like Parāspara. Paramātmā is beyond or even higher than, transcends this māyā, which is the seed for all names and forms. So he is nirguṇa nirākāra rūpa, attributeless form will be appreciated. This is one way of praising the Lord, describing the Lord in this sutra. One way Ishvara is looked upon from the standpoint of his nirguṇa svarūpam, attributeless nature. The second is saguṇa rūpam, attributed form. He is sarvajñaḥ, sarvaśaktimān, sarva karma phala dāta. Sarvajñaḥ means omniscient, sarvaśaktimān omnipotent, giver of the results. This is called saguṇa form. In general, which can be used for any form of the Lord. So the first two are common for any god. Any god, whether it is the Lalita or it is Ganesha or Shiva, any form, the first two are common. Because any form can be looked upon as Nirguna Brahma, can be looked upon as Saguna Brahma. But the third one is specific to a particular form. The devata who is praised through stotram, stuyamana, we call it stuyamana or stutya. The Lord who is praised is called stutyaha or stuyamana. Like Ganesha, he is called stutya for this stotra. Or stuyamanaha. Stuyamana means one who is praised. And so that stutya can be seen from nirguna angle, saguna angle, and with reference to the specific form. Like we say, we start with that here. Ganesha is having a modaka, a laddu in his hand. This is very specific to Ganesha. So, third description will be specific to a particular form. So the deity who is praised can be seen as Nirguna Brahma, Saguna Brahma, and the one having specific form, like Ganesha, Vakratunda Mahakaya, having this flanked face, or what do you call the slant, Vakratunda. The face is slant little bit. Mahakaya, big body. So this particular form is specific to Ganesha. Shiva form, having the snake around, having Ganga on the top. This is specific description. The description specific to a form. So in every sutra, or almost all sutras, generally we will find these three types of descriptions of the Sutya Devata. As Nirguna Brahma, as Saguna Ishvara, Saguna Brahma called Ishvara, and as the one having specific form. And all three of them will be describing the same Lord. Now, what is the benefit of doing this sutra parayanam? What is the benefit of chanting this sutra? two types of benefits are there. Benefits are there. One is called Adrishta Phalam, invisible result. Otherwise called Punyam. Stotram is a prayer, and prayer brings Punyam. Therefore, chanting the Stotram brings Punyam or removes Papa. Punyam is brought, it will help us to get some conducive situation. Papam is removed so that some obstacles in the pursuit will be removed. This is Adrishta Phalam. Invisible result. Of course, invisible will fructify in the form of visible only. But immediately, invisible result. Either Punya Praptihi, the attainment of Punyam, or removal of Pap. Reduction of Pap. This is one type of Phalam, Adrishta Phalam. The second Phalam is Drishta Phalam. One Drishta Phalam of this Kotra is that it gives a very good occupation to our mind, keeping it away from other thoughts which can distract the mind. It keeps us on the pursuit. And also, one more Drishta Phalam is, in Stotram, there is glorification of the Lord, appreciating the fact that Ishvara alone is. All glories belong to Ishvara. And thus, I develop humility. That all glories, including so-called my glory also, belongs to Ishvara. So, helps us to develop humility. And also it invokes a devotee in us. So I am saying Namami, I appreciate your glory. So it invokes and strengthens the devotee in me. And if it is done with more and more concentration, then it helps us to make our mind further concentrate. It gives us better concentration. So it has got Drashta Phala in the form of humility, having good mental occupation, invoking a devotee in us, invoking the appreciation of connection to Ishvara. These are Drashta Phala and Punya Praptihi, Papa Nivruti is Adrashta Phala. With this background, we chant the Pachmuka. Mudakara, please chant.
अनायकैकनायकं विनाशिते भदैत्यकं नदाशुभाशुनाशकं नमामितं विनायकम्.
Before I explain the words of this sutra, I will explain the title of this sutra. Sutram I already explained, a collection of verses praising the Lord. A collection of verses of praise is Sotram. And this Sotram in the form of collection of verses which are Pancha Ratna. Ratna means gems. Pancha means five. So this Sotra is a collection of five verses or six verses, five plus one, five verses which are like gems. And this shloka, which constitutes stotra, the shlokas are glorifying Sri Ganesha. Ganesha is one of the forms of the Lord, Ganana Misha, the Lord of groups of devatas. Shri means Shriman, glorious. So, Shri Ganesha Pancha Ratna Stotra means a collection of verses which are like five gems glorifying the glorious Ganesha. A collection of verses, verses which are like five gems glorifying glorious Ganesha. This is the meaning of Sri Ganesha Pancha Ratna Stotra. Meaning we say Ganesha.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha. Hari Om.